God's word for our meditation today is our gospel lesson, previously read Luke chapter 6. In the name of Jesus, whose love for sinners is boundless. Dear fellow redeemed, can you tell me, what does love look like in your life? In light of our most recent holiday, Valentine's Day, maybe love looks like a box of chocolates or a card or a nice dinner out with your sweetheart. Or maybe for you, love looks like your grandson in your lap, kissing him on his chubby little cheeks until he squeals. Or maybe love for you is that smell of that first brewed cup of coffee in the morning. Or maybe love for you is the passion that you feel about your favorite sports team, whether you're playing on it or you're rooting for it. Or maybe love for you is the special places you go or the neat people you spend time with. These are the things, these are the people that we love to talk about. In fact, if I were to look on your phone, I'd probably find pictures of the people you love. If you looked on my phone, you'd find pictures of people that I love. You would find pictures of women that I love. You'd find other things that I love. I'll bet the same is true for each of you. We all have things we love, but I'll bet that all of those things would fall into the category of things that are fairly easy to love. I mean, it's not hard to love things we enjoy. It's not hard to love people who love us back. Today, we're not going to talk about easy love. We're going to talk about hard love. Today in his word, God asks us to think about love that's not easy to show, but love that's hard to show. Love that we need to show, that God demands that we show, that makes us different from the rest of the world. Love that maybe people don't want to talk about, but that God knows we need to hear about. What love am I talking about? I'm talking about what Jesus tells us here in our text. It's our theme today. Christians, love your enemies. Today we'll consider a couple questions connected to that statement. First, what does that mean to love your enemies? And secondly, how is that possible to love your enemies? First, exactly what does Jesus mean by love your enemies? I think it's interesting that in the parallel account in Matthew 6, Jesus prefaces this statement about loving your enemies with these words. He says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies." In other words, apparently back in Jesus' day, in addition to the command to love your neighbor, there was this idea that you should also hate your enemies. And there's certainly some logic to that, all right? If we're supposed to love the people who are close to us, maybe we should have the opposite feeling about those who are opposed to us, right? Why should we treat people who mistreat us any different? Why don't we just give them a little bit of their own medicine? That's kind of how our sinful reason thinks. But that's not how Jesus thinks. It's not how Jesus lived. And so it's not how Jesus calls on his followers to live either. Jesus implores you and me as his children to display a different kind of love, almost a radical love, a love that the world would say is weird. And it's this statement, love your enemies. Now, maybe we need to define exactly what does Jesus mean by our enemies? I mean, is he talking about the Chicago Bears? No, he's talking about the fans of the Chicago Bears. No. Who is he talking about? Notice how Jesus defines our enemies here in our text. You who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. In other words, our enemies are not the people that we hate. We are not to hate anybody. Rather, they're the people who treat us like we are their enemy. They hate us. They mistreat us. They oppose us and make our lives difficult. They're our enemies in their minds. Now, sometimes when people hear the word enemies, they think of like military enemies. Maybe they think of Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. But I don't know how well that fits in our lives today. I mean, I don't know how many of us are physically threatened by the Taliban. I mean, now maybe if we were Christians living in Pakistan and the local Taliban tore up a Quran and threw it on our front step just so that they could charge us with the crime of defacing a holy book so they could throw us in jail and burn out our church, which sometimes happens, well, that would be a different story. But the fact is, our enemies don't live halfway across the world. They're a lot closer than that. But that doesn't mean it's any easier to love them. Think about it a minute. In your life, who is that person that you are most tempted to revile? Maybe it's somebody who mocks your faith. It's that college professor who says that your biblical worldview is outdated and docks your grade because you don't agree with his anti-Christian theories. Maybe it's the coworker who calls you a fool for wasting your time sitting in a church or watching a sermon online. Maybe the person that hurts you, that you're tempted to hate is the guy that assaulted you and got away with it, was never caught for it, didn't have to pay for it. Maybe it's the person that chose to climb behind the wheel of a car while intoxicated and put your best friend in the grave. Maybe it's the teen who bullies your daughter or her parent who lets her get away with it. Or what about the doctor who misdiagnosed your mother and maybe cost her life? Or the attorney that is hauling you into court for a crime you never committed? Maybe it's the neighbor who lets his dog mess up your yard, or the coworker who can't stop dropping F-bombs. We all have people in our lives that we are tempted to hate, or at least people that we have trouble loving. In fact, sometimes the people who are hardest to love, ironically, are the people closest to us. Maybe it's your wife who sometimes acts like you can't do anything right. Or it's your husband who seems to not care at all about how you feel. Or it's your children who never listen to what you say. What are we supposed to do when people treat us so poorly? Jesus tells us, he says to love them. But again, maybe we better ask, what does he mean by love your enemy? I mean, not so much defining the enemy part, but defining the love part. Love your enemy. Does that mean like fall in love with the person who hates you? I mean, kind of like the crime victim who writes love letters to the guy who assaulted her? No. What Jesus is calling on us to do in this case is not to show love as an emotion, but rather as an action. Love here is not what we feel, it's what we do. In fact, you realize that throughout the New Testament, the Greek word for love, agape, is very rarely used as a noun. Almost always it's a verb. In other words, it's not something you have, it's not something you feel, it's something you do. Doesn't Jesus bring that out here in our text? What does he say? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Notice Jesus doesn't tell us how we're supposed to feel toward people who mistreat us, but rather what we are to do for them. Do good, pray, bless. This is a critical distinction that has application for all the different relationships that we find ourselves in. Let me give you an example. If there's a time where you feel like your spouse isn't showing you love, and therefore you don't feel the spark, that God says, then do something about it. Wash the dishes for her. Turn off your phone. When there's somebody that you feel like you can't even talk to because you've had so much history, there's tension there, then say, at least God bless your day. When you can't even look at that person who has so hurt you, then maybe you can pray for them. You see, in so many ways, love is not an act of the heart. It's an act of the will. It's determining to do what is good for that other person, regardless of how you feel about it. And yet we got to say that even if we know what it means to love your enemy, can define an enemy, can define what Jesus means by love, does that suddenly make it easy to do? No, it doesn't. I don't know about you, but when I hear this command, love your enemy, it's like a mirror that shows me that I'm not doing that. I mean, oftentimes I don't even love the people who love me, much less the people who don't. In fact, as I look at my life, as I look at my heart, my attitude, I find myself wondering, how can God expect a sinner like me to love those who hate me? I mean, how is that even possible? That's a good question. I mean, now that we've looked at what it means to love your enemy, let's ask the question, how is that possible? In other words, what reason would you and I have to do good to those who mistreat us? Why would we want to pray for those who are persecuting us? I'll give you three reasons. First, and most important, your ability to love and forgive those who have mistreated you, those who have acted like they're your enemies, is directly connected to something that God has already done for you and me. What does Scripture say? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God showed us love not because we were so lovable, but even though we weren't. We were in the middle of rebelling against God. What does Scripture say? The sinful mind is hostile to God. We were proving that we were his enemies. We were crucifying him by our lives. And yet, just as Jesus said to the people who were crucifying him in his day, Father, forgive them. So Jesus says exactly the same thing for us. He intercedes for us. And it's that fact that he has forgiven the million-dollar debt that we owed that now allows us to forgive the $2 or $3 that people owe us. It's God's love, his mercy for us that empowers our love and mercy toward others. Isn't that what Jesus says? Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Secondly, recognize that forgiving people the sins that they have committed against us is not the same as condoning what they did. We're not condoning it. What they did may well have been a sin against us, against God, but our job is not to punish other people for what they did to us. That's God's job. What does Scripture say? It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. The key to letting go of the sins that people have committed against us is to let God handle it. And finally, to love our enemies, the way we love our enemies is by recognizing that God can use our acts of kindness, our deeds of love, our forgiveness, especially of our enemies, to ultimately bring blessings into our lives and theirs too. Isn't that what happened with Joseph in our Old Testament reading? After his brothers sold him into slavery, he didn't retaliate. Instead, he forgave them. And it brought peace and restoration to the family of Israel. The same thing is still true in our lives today. God gives us all kinds of opportunities to love our enemies. We heard in our epistle reading, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You might say that's the standard that God has established for each one of us. It's not help those who can help themselves. It's not do good to those who can return the favor. It's not even love the people who love you. It's love your enemy. How is that possible? Well, Jesus tells us, with God, all things are possible. You see, it's God's love for you and me who were once treating him like the enemy that empowers us to love others who sometimes treat us like we're their enemy. Or to put it another way, the way that Jesus showed his love for sinners like you and me by dying on a cross, that wasn't easy for him. But by doing it, he gave us exactly what we need to do the same for others, even when it's not easy. That, my friends, is the precious, powerful truth that God uncovered in His Word. To Him be the glory. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.